Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, live from Los Angeles.
Ahead on NBA Today, Giannis limps off today's Eurobasket game. The video and news you need to see, we've got it. Plus, we've got some rather interesting new backcourts this season. Matt Barnes and Janae on which one is best. And one of those backcourts is Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. So where will the Cavs find themselves in the East standings? All that and more as NBA Today starts now. And welcome into NBA Today. I'm Cassidy Hubbard filling in for Malika Andrews. And despite being 40 days away from the NBA's opening night on October 18th, some of the NBA's brightest stars appear to be in midseason form as they play for their countries in Eurobasket 2022. Now, on Tuesday, Luka Doncic and Giannis Antetokounmpo both went off. Luka dropping 36 for Slovenia against Germany, while Giannis scored 41 points for Greece versus Ukraine, the most points in a Eurobasket game since Dirk had 41 in 2001. Take a listen to Luka after those games.
You said who was going to score the most points in one game? I would bet on Giannis. Why? Why? Because he's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Humble on the mic, but less than 24 hours later, Luka topped Giannis, scoring 47 points in a huge win over France yesterday, the second most points ever scored in a Eurobasket game. And that got some people on our show talking. Who do you expect to have the best season this year, Brian?
This was a vintage performance from Luka today. He's going to do this throughout the NBA season. He's going to have a great chance to get that first MVP.
Mark, you agree?
Yeah, I actually do agree with Brian for once.
Are we going to go three straight? You agreeing with Luka as well, Mo?
I picked him last year. I haven't decided this year, but I think he should be in there.
And we'll hear from Brian again in just a bit, but we're now joined by Matt Barnes and Chinne Agumake in studio. And look, you guys both weren't a part of that international debate we had yesterday, but we'll be able to get, you know, plenty of your thoughts in just a bit. But before we get to that, we got to get into some actual basketball action. I want to show you because Giannis had a chance to try and one-up Luka this morning as Greece took on Estonia. And in the first quarter, take a look at this vicious dunk.
I like that sign.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it's very nice. Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Mid-season form in the summer. That's scary.
Is that that's like playoffs. That's finals. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's just all the time.
And that's just consistent.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything.
And look, no help defense. Business decision.
Business decision. I was about to say business decision.
I love it.
They know about going viral over there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we put it on a poster.
Dope. I mean, like over the box, over the square.
Just the length. The length.
Got it.
And now, end of the first, Kostas Antetokounmpo with a block. And on the other end, Giannis with the dunk. Little brotherly connection.
You know I love some siblings. Hoops. Okay.
Yes.
This is like giving me everything, giving me life. I love the mix. I mean, look at that stats. 25 points, 9 for 10 field goals in the first half.
But stuff like this, games like this are great for people like Giannis because he does everything in the NBA, but you really get to do everything when you're playing in games like this and really work on some of your deficiencies come regular season for the NBA.
And also give something to international fans.
But here's the thing. Bucks fans were holding their breath here because as he was driving to the rim, he would go down after contact in a bit of pain, testing out his ankle on the sideline. He would not return to the game with an apparent ankle injury. It was kind of a blow up at that time. He also had his knees heavily iced up, a little bit of a limp after the game. Greece would win 90-69, but as you saw, just a noticeable limp.
Be all right.
Very taped out. Yes, that's what his head coach said after the game. All good. And despite his night being cut short, Giannis, his 25-point performance helped him finish the group phase as the leading scorer of the Eurobasket tournament at 29.5 points per game. A couple other NBA players are near the top. Luka Doncic is third, and Lauri Markkanen is fourth. I now want to bring in ESPN senior writer Brian Windhorst as we go for a wide. And look, so Giannis's ankle injury was diagnosed as a mild sprain, but with his injury today and Luka playing a little banged up in yesterday's game, Brian, what are your thoughts with the NBA's brightest stars playing in this tournament so close to training camp getting underway?
The teams really don't have a choice, Cassidy. Right. I mean, I think 10 or 15 years ago, teams tried to have some control there. Players of this level, when they want to play for their national teams, they're going to play for their national teams. And I'm actually pretty surprised and impressed that Giannis is playing. I watched him in person in China last time he played for the Greek national team 3 years ago. It was a miserable experience. The way the rules are set up in FIBA, it allows, you know, players to get in front of him and bait him into charges. He was fouled out of his last game there, and he was so frustrated. I wondered if we were headed for a Tim Duncan situation. You know, 20 years ago, Duncan threw up his arms and said, I can't take the way these games are officiated. I'm done playing international basketball. But Giannis comes back and plays. Now, there are Bucks officials with him. They will keep an eye on that ankle and make sure everything is fine. But Giannis is doing what we know Giannis can. He's probably the best player in the world, if not the second best player. He's dominating there. He's also shooting 85% from the line, which Bucks fans will love to hear, and 16% from three-point range.
Don't worry
Bucks
about
fans
it.
Won't, but don't worry about Giannis. He's doing great.
Yeah, I didn't hear any countdowns from the crowd during that game. But look, both of you guys in studio here with me nodded your heads when Brian said, you know, they don't really have a choice. But I want to kind of get your perspective as you both had to get ready for long seasons. As players, what are your thoughts on playing in these off-season tournaments? And Shanae, I want to start with you.
Yeah, someone who's played overseas, and I'm currently trying to play for the Nigerian national team. I think the perspective is a lot of times you think, oh, it's so close to the season. To them, this is a huge point of pride.
Right.
You know, this is even bigger than, quote unquote, like, you know, the NBA per se, because this is just something about legacy. This is about, you know, you were born this way and then you are able to compete at a high level and just galvanize a country. So to them, it's bigger than your day-to-day job, which happens to be NBA that pays you multiples of millions. But the reality is when I look at Giannis, I just love what he does. I mean, look at wherever he goes. You've seen on social media all the Antetokounmpo brothers, how much fandom is there, and I think it's a good showing for them to compete. I would not necessarily be so worried about competing at this point because a lot of players in the NBA are right now ratcheting up their workouts, you know, getting ready for these training camps and these experiences together collectively as teams. This is a good tune-up. I think the important point here is you need to get some rest before the season starts, right? So finding some time to get some rest. I have no problem with playing games at this point. I mean, the NBA is about to go straight into world championships. No problem with playing games. I think making sure he's rested and is smart with his movements, because I bet you he still wants to play. Like, that's not even going to be a problem.
I think Chiney obviously hit it. It's just pride. And that's something you can't necessarily speak to unless you're a European player and what it means to represent your country. And for Giannis to really get a chance, because obviously he's on the biggest stage in the NBA, gets to do his thing every single night. Rarely does he get a chance to really get hardcore minutes with his brother, representing his country and his family. So it's just a different kind of pride these guys have. So, you know, Mark, like you said, teams don't really have a choice. You do hold your breath when these guys hit the ground. But also, as Chiney touched, I think all these guys, obviously Luka and Giannis and guys that are on these NBA teams know coming closer to the season, or maybe not even might not even start training camp on time. They might realize that, hey, we had a hell of a run in the summer. We're in playoff shape already. Let's take a rest, you know, these first, you know, pick and choose your days off during training camp and maybe in the preseason, because, like I said, they're ready to play regular season games as we speak.
I just want to piggyback just quickly, Shanae, a conversation we had in the newsroom. It's a difference between playing for your country and playing in, like, pro-ams or the Drew League.
Yes, very big difference. And I think here is, like, playing for your country. This is like the Olympics. Winning a gold medal is huge. Like, these are the steps in that process, and those are legacy moments. Now, when it comes to summertime and, you know, picking pro-am games, like, I do think, you know, after seeing Chet Holmgren's experience, people might be thinking twice about that. But I don't think anyone's thinking twice about international competitions where you have lifelong legacy at stake. And this is how you qualify to be able to win and achieve some of your biggest dreams.
But I don't even think people, not to cut you off, I don't even think people are second guessing after seeing Chet. I mean, you can get injured at any single time.
It's
and
true.
Obviously, maybe the last handful of years, injuries have just been on the rise. But at the end, I remember playing in the league. Like, you really played during the summertime. Like, and back in the league, like, we really used to practice too. So, I mean, obviously, there's so much on load management now and being careful. But guys want to play, and it's going to be hard for teams to stop that.
We talked about business decision. It is a business decision because your body is your business. But I hear both points. Regardless of what they do in the offseason, the international stars have dominated the league over the last few years. From 1956 and 2018, only three international players combined to win four NBA MVP awards. Hakeem Olajuwon, Steve Nash, and Dirk Nowitzki. But the last four seasons, Giannis and Jokic have taken home the award, each of them twice. So the question is, will the international MVP streak continue, Brian?
Listen, I think the favorites are going to be, again, for international player. You know, I voted for Joel Embiid to win the MVP last year. I wasn't anything against Jokic, but I thought Embiid had an MVP season. And he's going to come into this season with a great opportunity. And I think Luka is the favorite, and rightfully so. And I think if you're asking me, you know, who the top three favorites are, I'm listing off three international players: Giannis, Jokic, and Embiid. You know, I don't know when the next American is going to win the MVP. I don't know if it can be Jason Tatum. I don't know if it can be Ja Morant. But, you know, right now, the international players are the studs and the stars of the NBA, and they're playing over the summer for their countries. It's really admirable because you know they're going to come in shape. So I think there's a strong chance we're going to see a fifth consecutive year where international player is the MVP.
Yeah, and I think that this is beautiful, and this was purely by design. The NBA really made efforts the last 10 or so, you know, years to become a truly global game because they saw their footprint expanding so far beyond just North America, and this is a testament to it, and I love it. You know, I love that Giannis is out there representing and galvanizing Greece and even beyond Nigeria. I love that Embiid, you know, is able to play for France but also has roots in Cameroon, and we haven't mentioned, like, Pascal Siakam repping Cameroon. Like, there's so many different storylines that have been integrated into the NBA, where international competition and the NBA have actually birthed this beautiful baby, and this baby is now winning, you know, MVPs and huge awards. And so this was purely by design by the NBA, and I think it's great because there are a few sports that can say that we are really expanding the global game. The next frontier is, like, women, pushing women's sports, you know, globally as well. But I've really been impressed by Adam Silver and all the efforts he's done, because that's a result of what their intentionality has been.
Shanae, you're on point today. I'm not even gonna lie.
Is it today or is it, like,
all the time? Well, I haven't been working for a while, but global. Global. You know, when you see these European players winning these MVPs, it just brings hope to everyone in their country. So obviously, continuing the growth of the game is the ultimate goal. Luka's been the favorite, you know, the last few years, and he, to me, we all see what his body is looking like in this offseason, which is incredible. Probably the best shape he's ever been.
And the timing is right for him this time.
It's right on point. You know what I mean? Like, his team keeps getting better. He keeps getting better. So you can also obviously throw a Kevin Durant. You know, Mark, you mentioned Ja Morant, Jason Tatum. You could throw a Steph Curry. And you know, there are a handful of American players are obviously going to be able to, you know, sneak in that conversation at any given point. But I would have to agree. I think the European guys are the favorites, odds on favorite to win MVP this year.
And I don't know if working in his favor, Jalen Brunson now with the Knicks, because he'll have more on his back, and sometimes that.
Where'd you come from, Cass? Where'd you come from?
Is that an
East
MVP
Coast
candidate?
No, for Luka, is Luka being the favorite? You know, him having to carry more weight, if that works in his favor or will work against him. Also, to your point, Chennai, I mean, David Stern, that was pretty much a big part of his
absolutely
legacy, was, you know, making
great
the
addition
game international. All right, still to come on NBA Today, there are backcourt changeups throughout this offseason, so which pairing came out on top? And speaking of the Cavs, where do they rank in the Eastern Conference? Don't miss that. We'll have a colorful conversation. Plus, Carmelo Anthony is still on the market. Is he the best free agent out there? We will talk about all of that and so much more as NBA Today rolls on.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NBA Today is brought to you by Burger King. A burger, fries, and chicken fries. Only $6 at BK.
I think sometimes you don't have to tell your story. Time will.
For the first time in franchise history, the Chicago Sky.
This time of year is my favorite, you know? It's like, it's so much fun. There's only four teams playing. Like, everybody has to watch us.
Parker, they gave her too much space, and she makes a pay.
No answers for Parker. This is the kind of zone she's in.
I just think we're in a situation where you see an opportunity to win, and so she wants to do everything in her power to get another championship.
She's everywhere, defense, offense, off court. She's been very vocal, and I'm happy to play with her.
Double team, put it up in there! Candace Parker, those last two games, unbelievable.
There is an urgency, but I'm not thinking about that. We're just trying to win, you know, the game for this team.
Candace Parker's pursuit of her third WNBA championship continues tonight on ESPN2 at 8 Eastern when the Sky hosts the Sun in Game 5 of the semifinals. And the winner will take on, of course, the Aces in the final. Who better to break it down for us than two-time WNBA All-Star and current Spark, Chinne Agumake. Of course, nobody knows these teams better, so hit us with that cheat sheet.
Let's do it. I'm so excited. Yes, I'm back with a cheat sheet. And finally, thank you, producer Greg, it's for some WNBA action. It's game five, win or go home. So let me break it on down. Sun versus Sky. Let's get started with Connecticut. The Cut, as I called it when I lived in Connecticut
for five years.
Now the Connecticut Sun, they are the best team in the playoffs at scoring in the paint, getting over 45 points per game inside the paint. As a former Sun player, I know that this team is hard to stop when they're in attack mode with their big three. And I say big three, like literally. So Romy Monte, producer Kwaku, baby, he's in the building. I wish I could have brought him out here, but next time. Check this out. Let's start with Alyssa Thomas. She's so great at getting rebounds and pushing it, just sort of like LeBron, right? Big with size, crafty with the finishes. Let's run it back, but this is a different play. She's pushing, she's ambidextrous, and she has excellent footwork. Ooh. And she always likes to flex on him. I see you, AT. I'm so proud of you, sis. Now let's go to Jonquel Jones, the MVP. And she's just excellent at second chance points and offensive rebounding. She's long, over 6'6", lanky, and never stops when it gets to rebounding, especially offensively. And last but not least, the sixth woman of the year, Bree Jones. She has been amazing. Most improved candidate, but more so sixth woman of the year. Her low post scoring, her footwork, elite. You get guaranteed points all around this area when you have that big three for the Connecticut Sun. I'm so proud of my former teammates. This might be their year, but standing in the way, Cassidy, are the defending champs, the Chicago Sky. So check this out right here. The Chicago Sky have been the best team this postseason at turning defense into offense, leading the league in steals and fast break points per game. So one more time, producer Kwaku, baby, run me my tape, okay? Now, this is great. Look at the defensive rotations, and when you're veterans, you're great at communication.
Yes.
Allie Quigley sees the post rolling. She calls Candace to come handle the paint. Candace, you know, a defensive player of the year, is there. And I love this. Slootie, your point guard, boxes out AT, gets the rebound, and they're off to the races. Another play, but this time, Miesemann, such a crucial key player for them, commits to the hard trap on Courtney Williams. The post is rolling. Kaw slows it down. Kalia Copper, former finals MVP. And then here's the pick and roll. Sees the post rolling again because there's another trap. And look at this. Quigley just says, you know what? I'm going to handle it myself, and forces a steal by their just communication and active pressure on defense. That's what they did in game three. They need to be able to do this again to be able to meet the Aces. So after all of this, I have a question. Will it come down to, you know, whose strength is better? You know, they wanted me, producer Greg wanted me to make a pick. I'm like, nah, I can't do that. These are my people. So my question is, will the Sun shine bright or will the Sky make it rain? Just don't get burned.
Well, your SPF. So you just put that question out there for other people to take on.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll let you get away with that.
Oh, thank you.
Because you just did such a
great
job.
Y'all know I like a good hedge.
Exactly. But as a reminder, you can see it all go down. You don't need a prediction. You can just watch.
Thank you. That part.
Tonight at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on ESPN2 and the app. WNBA Countdown with Monica McNutt, Carolyn Peck, and special guest Asia Wilson. That's MVP Asia Wilson. All getting you started at 7:30. So another day has passed and Brittany Griner is still detained in Russia. It's been 203 days since she was arrested in a Moscow airport for possession of cannabis. Griner is serving a 9-year prison sentence despite the U.S. government having classified her as wrongfully detained. Here's ESPN investigative reporter TJ Quinn with an update on her status.
Well, this is an agonizing time for the family. There's some optimism that things are so quiet, it's a good sign. You're not hearing any leaks from the U.S. side. You're also not seeing anything in Russian media that would suggest their government is not happy with negotiations. But when you talk to the people around Brittany Griner, they say that they're trying to have faith in the process and they're trying to be patient, understanding that these are not easy deals to make. But they're also racing against the clock. She is still awaiting a hearing on her appeal. In the meantime, they're hoping that she stays in a Moscow jail, which is frankly a far better alternative than the prison camp that she's been sentenced to. So they would like to see something happen, obviously sooner rather than later, just to get her home. But also they just want to make sure she doesn't end up being sent to that prison camp where life can be brutally hard. So right now they're trying to remain patient. They feel like they're aligned with the family of Paul Whelan and know that if one of them's coming home, both of them are coming home. But if you don't see much progress in the next couple weeks, I wouldn't be surprised to see both families start to speak up and try to draw more attention to her case.
And here's a detailed look at Brittany Griner's timeline since she was detained in Russia back on February 17th. We'll continue to talk about it and continue to bring attention as we continue to call to get Brittany back home. Still to come on NBA Today, Cleveland is the city. Where will the Cavs finish this season, though? And we're ranking the harmony between that backcourt, Spida and Garland. Plus, we've got a special edition of Chop It or Drop It. Does Russ have a bone to pick with NBA 2K? Don't miss that. And since the NFL season kicks off tonight, we'll cross over to a football-style edition of Top of the Top. You'll see what I mean. NBA Today rolls on.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Two of the game's best young guards now paired up in Cleveland thanks to a monster trade the Caps pulled off just a week ago. Donovan Mitchell in, Colin Sexton, Lauri Markkanen, Ochai Agbaji, and three firsts out. So, a team that had three All-Stars last season adds yet another one. And it looks like the backcourt is already hitting it off, guys. Yesterday was Spida's birthday, and Darius wasted no time wishing him a happy one on Instagram. Isn't that sweet? And speaking of sweet, Trae Young is already a bad man, as evident by this nutmeg on Kyrie Irving. You guys see this?
Oh,
this one. This wasn't on Kyrie Irving. This was against the Timberwolves.
Just a nutmeg.
That nutmeg in general. On the internet right now, you can see him do the same thing to Kyrie Irving.
He's different.
Different. And all they did this offseason was add DeJounte Murray. So quite the backcourt pairing there. Two more All-Stars joining forces. Lots and lots and lots of great backcourts now exist throughout the league.
Oh, my goodness.
Good luck ranking these guys. Yeah, if only we had two players that know the game inside and out to help us rank all the pairings you see here on your screen.
Honestly, it was really hard. I'm not going to lie.
Well, somehow I always get the days I work, we always have to rank stuff, and I get violated on social media for like the next month.
I'm sorry. Not sorry. Matt, let's start with you. Give us your rankings so we can start, you know,
man, a lot of talent, I'm excited to see what this group does. So I'm going to start them at number five. Obviously, Mitchell being one of the best young scorers in the game. And the only knock on I have on him is he never really made players around him better. But Garland is sixth in the league in assists at 8.6. So I think that's going to be a scary combination. At four.
What do you have?
I'm assuming Kyrie wants to play and Ben Simmons is going to be healthy. Ben Simmons, first team all defense and an all-star.
Assuming.
Kyrie Irving, we know how talented he is, and I really think he has a point to prove this year. So I got the Nets at four. Who else did I have? Sorry,
I'm not even on Twitter, but I'm already calling you out. This is not what you told us in the pre-show meeting.
I switched it like two times. On the way here, I switched it. This backcourt right here, whether it's Marcus Smart, first team all defense, or Brogdon, who was a huge pickup.
Yes.
And then the emergence of Jaylen Brown has been amazing to me.
Okay. I'm not mad at
my brother, CP. I was all with these two guys last night at the 2K launch. We'll get into that a little bit later. Devin Booker and Chris Paul. It's been a revitalized franchise since Chris Paul's came there. Devin Booker's continued to improve. And to me, until somebody knocks these boys off, they're the best basketball in basketball. So obviously a lot of honorable mentions. You know, you don't see Luka. You don't see Ja. There's a lot of guys. You don't people. Minnesota slept on backcourt with D'Angelo Russell and Ant.
No, these are my five.
But also, like, backcourt, they're guys that play more guard on the perimeter that, like, if you put them two in there, like if you put KD, like that would put you up there. But we're playing like actual voting.
You don't even need to put that down because if you don't have them at
Thank you, that part. So mine was a little different and I'll tell you exactly what I did. So let's start with number one because, like, let's start with what was the same and what's known, right? Splash Bros here. I love this.
Actually,
let's
one,
stay
two.
Here.
Like,
it, one, two. Actually,
and one, two.
I'm actually one, two, three.
One, two, three.
One, two, three. Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown. I like this combo. Defensive player of the year, Jaylen Brown. I think he averaged 24. He was not an all-star last year, but he's a one-time all-star.
Big in the playoffs, too.
Yeah, and I'm like, Tatum, can't we, like, just, like, okay, sorry. I digress. Now, when I go to four, this to me is interesting. I'm going to go, let me do my Vanna White, or should I say Vanna Black right here?
Oh, no, you didn't.
I'm going here.
Ooh.
I'm really excited about this. Trey averaged almost 30 points last year, and getting DeJounte Murray, you know, I know he was an all-star, and was it like a, you know, slide-in all-star, but the real aspect about it was just he just has arrived.
Yeah.
And so you look at those two, this is one of those teams in the East that I think their stock grew, especially based on this backcourt. So they have a lot to prove, especially considering that they made an Eastern Conference Finals run. And now they're like, hey, expectations have shifted and changed. Now five, this is where I think did you change yours?
Yeah,
like, cause
I did.
I'm keeping this here.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland's going to go crazy.
I like it.
Cleveland's going to go crazy. Garland, Mitchell, I like that pairing, but more so Mobley, Allen, they're like probably one of the most deep teams.
Kyrie and Simmons, no, but okay. You know what I'm trying to search for? We're the Lakers. You guys, you don't want a Pep, Evan, Russell Westbrook?
I like it. And they're going to be friends.
Do you really like it?
That beef that people think there is, when you become teammates, is way different. Because I've had beef with dudes and I became teammates and we became like this.
Yeah.
My question, I want to see this because both these guys are ball dominant guys. Both guys averaged above 9 assists last year. So where does the sacrifice come in? But normally my thing is great players find a way to make it work.
But they like have different strengths. You know, Trey's low to the ground and a lot of G3s. You know, DeJounte sort of is downhill and like has
double.
A different. Exactly. So
I'm still
like
on the fact
mix.
That Matt said he liked the Lakers backcourt and he thinks it's going to work. Because yesterday, Brian Windhorst on the show, he was like, that is not going to work. Let's bring him back with us.
I don't mind.
you saw that. You all right?
I am still trying.
I'm still trying to get over that we had Beverly and Westbrook on the list of notable backcourt ahead of at least seven or eight other ones that could have been on that list. It is, I mean, Matt Barnes, like, you cannot look at me with a straight face.
I'm not even looking at you right now.
And tell me that you think that that backcourt.
Is that why Twitter comes for you, bro?
I'm not even looking at you.
And tell me that that backcourt can work in any circumstance in 2022 NBA. And you can't tell me that LeBron James has any interest in playing with those two guys not spreading the floor for him.
Hey, I'm not looking at you.
I will move on and say that, I'm surprised that the Dallas Mavericks, I mean, Luka Doncic and a guy off the street could be a top 10 backcourt in the NBA. And Spencer Dinwiddie is not a guy off the street. I know that they lost Jalen Brunson, and I know that that's going to be something to recover. But Spencer Dinwiddie put up really big numbers when he was with the Dallas after the trade last year. He put up some of his best three-point shooting numbers of his career. We'll see if that carries over. But I would not sleep on Dallas. I know they did not have a good offseason. I will agree that I don't think they handled their maneuvers well. But I think Luka Doncic is a beast, and I think with Dinwiddie having the whole training camp to go along with him, I think they're going to be right up there with some of the best in the league.
Don't mention the Lakers backcourt to Brian anymore. He is bet up. But look,
in the list of some of the best, my God.
Notable.
Hey, they're on the list. I just don't know which list.
Notable. Look, we just heard a lot about Boston, Cleveland, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Philly, all very good backcourts, but are they playoff bound? Nine very good teams on paper in the East.
Here we go again.
Now with Cleveland adding Donovan. Get ready.
Pick your starting area. Here we go.
We'll start with Brian, okay? Brian, starting with you, where will the Cavs finish in the standings?
Yeah, so if you look at those teams, you know, how many of those teams are they passing? Like, I really liked this trade. I think the way that their team fits together is really good. I understand why they did it. I support it. But I can't say for sure they're going to be a top five team. You know, the Hawks, who finished right behind them, they got better. The Nets, I believe, if they can keep their act together, I know that's a big if, but they're in theory, they should be better. The Raptors finished fifth last year. The Heat finished first. I mean, those aren't teams that you can just take for granted. So I think there's too much talent at the end in the Eastern Conference. Somebody is going to be a really good team in the East and is going to miss the playoffs. It might be the Bulls. You know, six, 8 months ago, you would have had the Bulls, Lonzo Ball and DeMar DeRozan, as one of the best backcourts in the East. And now we're having trouble saying that because Lonzo has this uncertain knee injury. So there's going to be a good team that gets one or two good teams that's going to get disappointed in the East this year. So I think the Cavs are much improved. A lot of it to me will be how good is Evan Mobley, because the trade for Donovan Mitchell is a vote in the overall ability of Evan Mobley to mature into a superstar. That's what the Cavs are betting on as much as they are Donovan Mitchell.
And I don't know, you know, Wendy, you just said, like, I don't know if they're going to be top five. Well, I picked five because I didn't know, but I feel good about them. I feel really good about them. Just from a depth perspective,
yes,
from a scoring perspective, from a tenacity perspective, they're taking those steps to where they're trying to build a championship. Maybe not next year. Maybe the year after, you know? And so it's going to – maybe the year after that. But still, you see the pieces in real time, a young core being there. And so I have them at five.
I like their roster. They've developed a new identity, obviously, post-LeBron, and that took a little bit. I don't have them top five. I have them at six. Just solely based on is because the East is strong. And like you said, Wendy, I think the play-in games are going to be really exciting because these are quality teams that can definitely be in the playoffs. So shout-out to the play-in because I think that's going to be fun. My team to watch on the bubble again is probably going to be Atlanta because I just want to see – although that's a dynamic backcourt, I want to see how that backcourt works together because, like I said, guys that are used to having the ball in their hands the entire game, you have two of those guys now, and they're starting in your backcourt. So who is going to do what and who's going to sacrifice? So I like Atlanta's team. I just want to see if they can figure that out.
We are far away from the Eastern Conference. The East is going to be real interesting again this year. All right, coming up, a special edition of Chop It or Drop It, just minutes away. Talking Russell Westbrook, Pat Bev, some more, Carmelo Anthony,
Lakers,
and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. NBA Today rolls on. It's time for today's WNBA Corner, presented by Google, as we await the ultimate prize. The award season is in full swing. And here's today's search trend provided by Google. WNBA 2022 MVP, was a breakout search in the U.S. from the first week of September. And yesterday, fans finally got their results as Asia Wilson was named MVP for the second time in her career. Wilson is the seventh player in WNBA history to win multiple MVP awards and just the third number one pick to win it multiple times, joining Lauren Jackson and Candace Parker. Here's how Wilson found out she was a two-time MVP.
I've known since Saturday, but Asia Wilson's MVP.
What a cool moment to see him back here with Matt Barnes and Chinnaya Agumike. And Chinnaya, starting with you, what are your thoughts on Asia edging out Breanna Stewart for the MVP award?
Yeah, talking to players, people thought it could go either way, but I'm perfectly cool with that. Asia is deserving, and I'm really happy for her. I actually got to see her less than a week ago. We were both shooting something for State Farm, and it was a point in the series where, you know, she was trying to get her footing, and you could just sort of feel like her confidence, and she was like, you know what, things are going to be great. Like, things are going to be all right. She's a battler. She's a warrior. Having to guard her, I know this personally. And, I mean, just to do all of this, you know, before the age of 26, and I know, Matt, you want to say also Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So impressive with rebounding, because people don't know the Aces. They've been playing, you know, 5-6 players deep. They said she's only rested 4 minutes in the series. Like, she's taken and put this whole team on her back, and then everyone has improved under Coach Hammond, from Plum to Chelsea going crazy. Jackie Young improved. Like, this is a team that has arrived. And Seattle, I mean, like, you don't want someone to lose in that situation.
Right.
You have Sue Bird's last game, them playing at home in a new arena. Like, the energy, I think they've led, you know, the entire season in a fan attendance. So, like, this is one of those things where you're happy for both. But I understand, considering Vegas was the top team for most of the year, she was the person that anchored the paint and provided a lot of that interior presence on both ends. It's like, I'm just happy for it.
Yeah.
Hey, you're right. Congrats.
It was a tight race. Just 8 first place votes separated the two. And look, you mentioned Sue Bird, from this season's MVP to one of the most valuable players in WNBA history. Bird, her legendary career, it came to an end, as you said, after that loss to Wilson and the Aces in the semifinals. But Chinnaya, you know, her legacy is always going to continue to live on, future Hall of Famer, no doubt. But what is your favorite Sue Bird story?
Honestly, there are, like, so many stories. And as you know, like, you can't really say, you know how it is, like, the best story you can't really say on air. But what I will say is this, you know, leading into 2020, for 2 years, we were both on the WNBPA Players Association, both vice presidents. And we spent 2 years in group chats and in meetings, just getting to know each other and also finding each other's roles, because we're pushing to really have this league take another step. You know, my sister's a big sis, and my sister's a president. And so, like, it was a family thing, and she instantly became a sister. Her voice was invaluable. Being able to step to the table and say, hey, NBA partners, like, bet on women, invest in women. Having Sue Bird there was absolutely invaluable, because you know me, I'll be talking, and my sister's awesome at delegating, but having Sue there step up and say, hey, you know, I could just choose not to do this. I'm good. I have a legacy that's cemented. But instead, she got in the trenches. She worked. She was fun. She was smart. She was engaging, and she helped us have a deal, the CBA, that was ratified in 2020, that really changed the game for not only women in sport, but just women, period, in the workplace. And so that's the biggest thing that I think she has done, even though her list is endless.
I mean, yeah, her accolades are, you know, everyone knows her accolades, but I like just what she's been able to do off the court on being herself and mm-hmm. standing for what she stands in and how many women she's represented and how many women she's given confidence to actually be themselves. Her and her partner, Megan, have made tremendous strides and helped break down barriers that have stood for so long. So, I mean, obviously, again, on the court, she's a killer. You know, one of the legends in the game, but I love what she stands for off the court.
And, like, after watching, I was like, do we really think she's done? Like, I feel like she's done.
Post-game, she was like, I'm still going to be around. We'll
see. She's probably still got some in the tank, which is crazy.
And we're not done here either. Still to come on NBA Today, is NBA 2K doing too much? Our crew reacts to Pat Bev's shocking rating compared to his new teammate, Russ. Matt, I know you want to continue to talk about them. The Lakers never lacked for drama, and this Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley pairing is sure going to keep Twitter abuzz this season, and Ronnie 2K took notice. Tuesday night, the NBA 2K ratings came out, and Pat Bev is 79 overall, while Russ is 78. I mean, I don't know if Ronnie is petty, but there's something petty about that. But I digress. Brian Windhorst is back with us. Who you guys want to play a little chop it or drop it?
Yes.
Let's do it. And let's stay with the new Lakers backcourt, Matt. Okay, so did NBA 2K get it right? Oof. Ranking Pat Bev ahead of Russell Westbrook.
I just hosted the 2K party last night.
Yeah, you launch, did.
And this was the
and
talk of
today.
The party. Yeah, oh, yeah. I didn't work out
always
this morning,
working.
Though. This was the talk of the party. It's just obviously the rankings. You know, Devin Booker, I talked to Devin Booker with Ronnie, and Devin Booker was mad at his ranking. So rankings are taken serious. I think, although Russ had an off season last year, I think his ranking is too low. I think Pat Bev was right there, very solid. The 79 is a solid ranking, but I think Russ's ranking is a little too low, so I think Russ should be in the 80s somewhere.
I'd have to agree, because Russ, as much as you question his game and you point out his limitations, I do think he still performs. He shows up, and he'll get you at least 20 and maybe 8 or so. And so, you know, just showing a little deference to that versus Bev, who, okay, I'm like, Ronnie, I love you, but I like you. You know what I'm saying? But I don't play too much 2K because I'm so focused on everything else. And so I was like, does defense really help your rating? If you're playing and you're like a lockdown defender, because is that what like threw him up?
To.
And you know, so I was curious about that angle, but I do think Russ should definitely be higher.
Two words, drop it.
Let's head out eat. As we talked about earlier in the show, that conference is loaded this season. So chop it or drop it, Chennai. The East is better than the West.
Mm. You know, I would say I'm going to be quick, drop it, just because I feel like the East has been better than the West the last few years or so, meaning the West is a little bit more top heavy, even though we did get a little shift of that momentum last season in the playoffs. But I'm going with drop it.
You got to win it to be the best conference. So the West is the best until the East wins again.
Oh, okay. That's different.
Brian?
I'd like to chop it, but we don't have much time. But I say the East is deeper than the West, even though the champs are in the West.
All right, let's take a look at the remaining free agents. You're going to see the names. Carmelo Anthony, Rajon Rondo, LaMarcus Aldridge, amongst others. Chop it or drop it, Matt. Carmelo is the best of the bunch.
Chop it. Yes, I agree. And I think the only reason why he didn't re-sign with the Lakers is because they have such an older team and they needed to get younger. But Melo's still at about 13.5 points and about 4 rebounds. You look at someone like Boston, they're expecting to have Gallinari. He's going to be out for the season. I think he'd be a great fit there, possibly a Brooklyn fit. But he still has more game, and I hope that he finds a home.
I'm going to drop it because I'm like, I don't want to have to rank him. He's already great. He's a great in the game, so I'm dropping it.
B?
38% from three-point range last year. He could fit in the league somewhere. The Lakers, frankly, could use a 38.3 point shooter.
Nailed that. All right, guys, we have a really busy weekend coming up. What a lineup we have this weekend. And Monday, the U.S. Open Women's Finals is Saturday afternoon on ESPN. Our Saturday night football game on ABC as number 14 USC taking on Stanford.
Lord help us.
And the U.S. Open Men's Final is Sunday afternoon.
Go Francis!
And tomorrow afternoon on ESPN. And our Monday Night Football Week 1 matchup.
Football is back,
Russell
yes.
Wilson back in Seattle to lead the Broncos against the Seahawks. That's on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus with Peyton and Eli on ESPN.
Yaffo.
Thanks to Brian. We'll probably see you down the line, my friend. When we return in 60 seconds, the best football style NBA plays from last season as the NFL kicks off tonight, and we're all about synergy. Stay tuned.
NBA Today is brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill.
The NFL kicks off tonight. How glorious. Here are some of the best dunks by NFL players. We've got Miles Garrett. I mean, that was impressive. That was at the All-Star game. Jalen Ramsey.
Super athletic.
Wild. Yes.
Cole Beasley.
Okay.
Devontae Adams.
Ooh.
And Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm. Woo. Bounce.
I mean, anyone we forget, Matt?
There's a guy named Drew Bennett that used to be a walk-on quarterback at UCLA, didn't get a chance to play. He ended up playing receiver at UCLA in the NFL. He used to come in our practice barefooted and go between his legs. It was unbelievable.
Barefoot?
Barefooted.
Oh, my God.
I mean, athletic is athletic. That is crazy. Welcome back to NBA Today. Cassidy Upperthin from Malika here with Shanae and Matt Barnes. And with the NFL starting tonight, we have very special top of the top, the top football style plays from this past NBA season. Ready, guys?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with top truck stick. The Cavs hosting the Lakers, and LeBron bulldozes and dunks on his good friend, Kevin Love.
Like, he hesitated for 1 second. Like, should I?
Don't hesitate.
He's been trucking people for 20 years. Don't feel bad, K-Love.
And it ain't gonna stop.
It ain't gonna stop. How about this?
Not real.
He did that in the pro-am, too.
He's not real.
And K-Love had, like, fun with it afterward. Remember that?
Yeah, that's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
How about the top hook and ladder guys staying in Cleveland? Outlet from Love to Darius Garland. Dropped it off for the slam.
Oh.
Love is real good at
it. Oh, love it.
Yeah, great outlet.
I feel like that's one of the best skills as a post player, catching the rebound and being able to, like, Joker, like Kevin Love. They're, I would say, two of the best at that.
Mm-hmm. Getting the ball up the court.
Yep, and that's not easy, just, like, throwing it to, you know, it's not easy.
It's quarterback-ish.
And it's awareness, like that drop pass, bam.
We'll see what Kevin Love, his impact on those young stars this
gonna be
season
good.
As well. How about the top scramble? Kyrie, the quarterback, navigating through defenders and then flips to his receiver, if you will, Patty Mills, for three.
Definitely not handles. Surprised. Not surprised.
Is, yes.
Like, best handle in the league, Kyrie.
Maybe best handle ever?
I mean, ever. Yeah.
That's Mike Vick-ish right here. Ooh. Shout out Mike Vick.
Right.
To run around and then find somebody the last minute. Or just run it.
Oh, of course. That's automatic. It's Patty. Yeah. Like, that's automatic.
Nice combination.
Or Patrick Mahomes, just magic. Mm. Top Hail Mary. How about this one? Before the halftime buzzer.
Oh, yeah.
Steven Adams.
Nice.
From one end zone to the other.
Play to the horn sounds. Great play. Great athleticism to catch the ball, somewhat score up and get a shot off.
Yo.
Incredible.
And it's funny because, like, I watched this. I'm like, oh, I should have put them at, like, you know, my best backcourts. Bane and Ja. I'm like, oh.
You know Ja.
It was too early in the morning.
Bane's got a little bit more work, but I like Bane, too.
True.
Before we pass it off to NFL Live, you have a Super Bowl pick?
I'm a Niner fan, and I hope Trey Lance comes out and does what he's supposed to do. You see, the Bills are favored, but I'm going to give Tom Brady one more.
Oh, wow.
One more nod for Brady.
Wow. I mean, honestly, I don't have a team, really. I've been saying I haven't had a team for years now, but I'm a Travis Kelce fan, so go Chiefs.
Our producers keep calling you out, saying that you had the Browns. Browns?
You had the Browns? Never.
Rams. Rams are four.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
What about you, Cass?
The Bears, I guess.
Homer.